passing the faith test, love test, the faith love test. Amen. Passing the faith love test. It's interesting when you think about life, no matter what stage you're in right now, you understand that it seems like you never stop taking tests. But when you're in a position, though, to pass the test, it's important that you realize that the test, this faith love test, is really always about how much do you love God. I hear people say this all the time. They say, I love God, right? They say, oh, I love God. And I listen to people say that very loosely, where their actions does not really line up with their love for the one that they're claiming they love. You see people in relationships and you wonder, do they really love each other? You watch how they interact with each other. You watch how they live with one another. And you say to yourself, that's a little bit questionable. And it's amazing about this is that, and the question I have for you today, something I need you to answer is, do you really love God? Then, how well do you know him? Amen. And the next question is, what evidence do you have that you truly love God? On the other side of the faith love test, it's the reality that sometimes God will ask us to do some things that seems literally impossible. I mean, you think about what God is asking Abraham to do here. Abraham has already been through 25 years of waiting. Imagine that. Imagine you're waiting 25 years, and then after waiting 25 years, God then asks you to do something that seems impossible. In other words, what I'm saying is you've done the preparation. You have proceeded. You have proved yourself. Imagine that, right? Now, this is the human mind talking here, right? Like you proved that, Lord, haven't I not proven to you? Anybody been there? Well, haven't I not proven that I love you? And haven't I proven that I'm willing to walk by faith? Haven't I not proven to you, God, that somehow, amen, I believe you? But why this test? And I believe this is what I call the final exam. If I were to say anything about Abraham, this would be the actual final exam. Not the final exam for living, but the final exam to prove, amen, that he truly, truly had faith in God. Imagine this. Imagine what's going on in Abraham's mind. How can I ever face Sarah again? I'm taking this son that was promised by God, and I'm about to kill him. Let's just talk about it real quick. He's about to what? Kill him. He's about to sacrifice him. How could he face Sarah, who was barren? Then she bore a child, and imagine leaving, not telling her where he's going or what he's about to do, but yet he has to live with this. And what about his testimony? What would people around the world say? Oh, look at Abraham. God gave him a child. And then God asked him to sacrifice said child. Come on and help me, somebody. See, unbelievers sometimes can't understand what God is actually asking you to do. Wow. Unbelievers at times may look at your life and say, man, you crazy. I don't even understand why you doing that. You know what I mean? Why are you down at that church all the time? What is it about that church that keeps drawing you back? See, here's what I want to say to you. It may not make sense to them, but let it make sense to you. The Bible says he rescued you and I from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. See, the reason we come to church is because there was a transfer that happened. There was a transaction that took place on Calvary. And yes, sometimes you say, man, you know what? I don't feel like going today, or I don't feel it. I don't, whatever you may say you feel, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line, the reason you keep coming to God, because you know it's real. How many know it's real? Like, the transfer was real. It wasn't a fake transaction that happened, that he really did save you. And in saving you, sometimes he asks you to do some things that may seem impossible, but yet with God, all things are possible. Can I ask you a question? Where are you right now in life? What is God asking you to give up? What is God asking you to release so that you can prove to yourself, number one, but to affirm to God, I love you. Do I have anybody? And so we find them now on this journey. They've saddled their donkeys. He took two young men with him. And they're getting ready to offer Isaac as a burnt sacrifice. Look at verse 4. It says, and on the third day. Now you got to know the distance between Beersheba and Mount Moriah is 50 miles. 50 miles of walking. They have a donkey to bring their food, not to carry them. And they're walking 50 miles. Some of us can't even walk 5 steps. We tired. We out of breath. Amen. But 50 miles, you're talking about 50 miles to a place where he didn't know where he was going. I'm trying to help somebody with something. Watch this. Sometimes you don't need to know everything. God will direct you if you take the step. And that's what the problem sometimes is. We're trying to figure it out, and God says, let me work it out. Just walk by faith. Walk by faith. Head in the direction. Get in your car, and then just drive. And then I will take the steering wheel, and I will do that autopilot on you, and I will take you where you need to be. Do I have anybody? Watch the text. The text says, the third day. Now, the third day is when they arrive. So the first thing I want to say to you, if you're going to pass the faith love test, is you have to walk with expectation. See, sometimes we lose hope. And what is hope? The confident expectation that something is about to happen. Amen. And look, even in the distance between Beersheba and Moriah, and watch this, you got 7 mountains surrounding them, and he didn't know exactly where it was, but here's the thing, he never lost hope. And I want to say to somebody here, no matter how tough your life gets, if you're going to pass this love test, faith love test, you have to never stop expecting that God is going to show up right on time. Listen, he may not come when you want him. Oh, boy. But he'll show up right on time. You remember that hill called Calvary? The Bible says 3 days later. Hey, 3 is significant. But see, between the first day and the second day, you got to know that it's not over. And oftentimes when I look at life sometimes, I'm like, God, come on now. You got to be kidding me. But he says, keep on expecting. See, he didn't know that 3 days in a three-day journey. Can you imagine what's going through his mind in 3 days? Man, I'm about to kill my own child. Listen, the psychological, emotional feelings that's going on with Abraham is one thing, but here's the thing. His faith trumped everything that he was experiencing because he knew that he didn't just step out here on nothing. He stepped out on God, and he stepped out on faith in God. And I want to say to somebody here, never regret your faith walk. Are you with me? Walk with what? Expectation. Look what he says next. Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. See, the reason he saw the place is because he had spiritual lenses on. When you walk with expectation, you're not thinking, you're not seeing like the world sees. You're seeing like the way God shows it to you from the Word of God. And so what I would say next is watch with spiritual anticipation. Watch. Pay attention. God has already shown you and I what needs to be done. Can I ask you a question? Do you have any vision for your spiritual life right now with where you're walking right now? See, he saw at a distance, but he was looking with spiritual eyes. And when you have the lenses of Scripture as your bifocals, you will be able to focus on not what you see in the flesh, not what you see happening right now. People lose hope because they lose vision. They lose hope because they don't see spiritually. You say, Pastor, how do I put on my spiritual glasses? You got to get in the Word of God. You have to read it. You have to read it. You have to apply it. And you got to repeat it again. You got to read it. You got to meditate on it. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates when? Day and night. In other words, he reads in the morning and he reads at night. Anybody here need direction? Anybody here need to make a serious decision? In other words, what I'm saying is if you're not watching with spiritual anticipation, how can you expect it to happen? Because your hope is built on nothing else but Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at the text. The text says in verse 5, let's see what Abraham does next. Abraham said to his young men, so the reason Abraham brought the young men with him because he was old and he needed help with all this baggage that he had to carry. And being 100-something years old now, right, 100-something years old, here he is, right? He needed help. But watch the text. The text says, he said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go where? Over there. So if I were to say, if I were to give you the next point, it would be this. Watch who you walk with. Now watch this. These men did not mean him bad. But if he would have taken his servants with him, they would have prevented him from offering Isaac. Imagine that. See, sometimes you're thinking people mean you good, but what they're doing is, in other words, they don't see what you see spiritually. They don't understand what you're going through. They don't even know the path that God has you on. And look, they mean well, but you got to pay attention who you walk with, because some people will, in their well intentions, hold you back from passing your test. They may have tried to stop them, you know. They may have said, man, they may have either forced them or talk them out of it. You ever had anybody talk you out of your blessing? Or try to talk you out your blessing? Girl, I don't think you should try that because that stuff looked kind of hard. It may be hard for you, but I know what God has told me. I know what God has promised me. Am I by myself here? Amen. Have you ever been talked out of a situation? Amen. That you know you should have just went forward and did what you're supposed to do, but yet for some reason logic came into your faith. And here's the thing, you cannot please God if you don't walk by faith. What is faith? The evidence of what? Things hoped for but not seen. And so you walk with expectation. You watch with spiritual anticipation. You watch who you walk with. And look what he says. He says, and we will what? Worship. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He says, and we will what? Worship. He said, Abraham knew that what was happening here was an act of worship. Okay. If the servants would have went with him, let me break it down ABC for y'all. Watch this. If the servants would have went with him, they would say, hey, man, you're finna kill your son. Hello, somebody. But Abraham, who knows God, who've been known God, the moment he was called, the Bible says he left his people and followed God. And here's what I want to say to somebody here today. You got to know how powerful your worship really is. Worship is not something we just do. Worship is what you are. But here's the thing you need to know, amen. After you watch who you walk with, the next thing you got to do is worship with a believing heart. See, sometimes when we come into worship, we don't believe. Because you know why? Because we're going through and we're trying to figure it out and we're questioning. Watch this. Here's some things for you. First of all, know who you're worshiping. Know why you're worshiping. Watch this. Know what you're worshiping. And watch this, and know this, that worship cannot be done without a believing heart. In other words, you got to believe that he is who he says he is, that he is a great God, that, watch this, that Abraham didn't look at this as him being a murderer, because he could have thought that. He didn't look at this as the fact that he was sacrificing his son. He looked at it, God, you gave me this son. And if you ask for this son back, I'm going to give him back to you as an act of worship. But here's what you need to know about Abraham. And it's interesting because Abraham instructed his servants to wait at the bottom of the mountain while he and Isaac went up to the mountain to worship. Do I have anybody here? Here's what I'm trying to say. In other words, you got to leave this earth when you're ready for worship, and you got to go a little higher. You see, when you get elevated in your worship, it is because you understand that no matter what Satan throws at me this week or last week or tomorrow or whatever you're going to do for the next couple of weeks, here's what you need to do. You have to make up in your mind that you're going to believe in worship. Worship is how you make it through some of the toughest days of your life. Abraham says, we are going up not to weep, but we're going up to worship. I'm glad that I believe in the one I worship. Anybody here believe in the God you worship? Because let me tell you something. When you believe in the God you worship, it will not just be seen in your words. It will be seen in your actions. What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to really magnify him and worship him for who he is? But here's the thing. I see people imitate worship. But when you believe that he is who he says he is, that he is Alpha and Omega, that he is omniscient, that he is an all-wise God, an all-knowing God. He woke you up this morning. Do I have anybody? He started you on your way. He did stuff for you that nobody else will ever do. Do I have anybody here today? See, sometimes we come into worship and we're doing it all based on somebody else's worship. But you got to have your own worship. You got to have your own praise. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus, when I think about all that he has done for me, my heart gets so happy, y'all. When I think, just thinking about him makes me want to shout. Why? Because God has been good to me. Do I have anybody here? In an early manner Sunday morning service, want to worship with me. And I'm talking about you're going to worship him because he brought you from a mighty long way. I'm glad today that no matter what the difficulties may look like, I realize something. Here's what I realize: that worship is my way out. Worship is my way out. But I have to make sure that I'm worshiping with a believing heart. Now, I'll close here by saying this. Check this out. He says, and we will worship and return to you. Now hold on. Wait a minute. You're going to take Isaac as the sacrifice, kill him. Lord have mercy. Hold on a minute. You're going to worship. I get that part. I don't get the last part. He says, we will return. Abraham was not lying. He actually believed that they both will return. But the book of Hebrews has a very interesting story about this. Put up on the screen for me. I just want to show you this. I don't want you to go there in your Bible. Just Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Let me show you a contrast. Let me show you something. The New Testament will explain what the Old Testament doesn't explain. But watch this. The writer in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, tells us what Abraham was thinking in this moment. Here's what Abraham was thinking. By faith, Abraham, when he was what? Yeah. Offered up who? And he who had what? Received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Go on, flip on. And it says, and it was he to whom it was said in Isaac. Oh, Lord have mercy. Your descendants shall be what? Now, this is why I say to you, don't ever stop believing the word. See, here's the thing. Last week I talked about the promises. Here's the thing. Don't ever forget in the midst of what you're dealing with, what God told you back here. God told him that Isaac will be great. But then God in the moment is asking him to give up Isaac. It doesn't make sense. But the thing about Abraham, he kept on believing the promise. Go on to the next verse. Verse 19 says, he considered that God is able to what? Raise people even from the who? In other words, he believed that God would raise Isaac up in spite of him sacrificing him. Oh, but let's go down 2,000 years to a hill called Calvary. Hey, you see, Isaac was a type of Christ. And what Abraham knew, what he didn't know, is that Jesus would come down 42 generations, hallelujah to his holy name, and really gave his life up as a sacrifice and raised from the dead. So if Abraham believed, come on and help me somebody, you and I got to believe that yes, he may kill him on the cross, but guess what? He will raise up on the third day. Do I have anybody here today who understand, who believe that what God promised, he gonna deliver. Thank God that Abraham shows us something, that he died, but he rose. Do I have anybody here? And I want to tell you something. What God says in his word, believe it all by faith. And when you believe it all by faith, faith is what will bring it back. Thank God today. Thank God today that Abraham showed us that his faith is relentless. It's locked in to God's promise. And whatever God promised, see, the Hebrew passage didn't happen till later. The Hebrew passage told us what the text didn't tell us, that he was thinking. He was thinking, well, if God takes Isaac, he'll raise him again. Where did he come up with that idea of the resurrection? And watch this. When they took Jesus to the cross, they thought it was over for him. But on the third day, y'all, he rose. He rose from the dead. For what? To pass the faith love test and to bring us, hallelujah, into the kingdom of his beloved son. Faith is not equal to feelings, y'all. To allow your feelings to guide your faith is like a truck being controlled by the cargo, rather than by the wheel. It is the wheel that controls the cargo. Hello, somebody. Not the cargo that controls the wheels. So what do I say to you today? Walk with expectation. Watch with spiritual anticipation. Walk. Amen. Watch who you walk with. Worship with a believing heart. And what God says in his word, believe it all. Believe it what? All by faith. Give God a hand clap of praise. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. Can I tell you this? This has been an amazing journey, walking through the life of Abraham. And every week I come and I see more and more. I needed this for what the enemy tried to do this week. I really did. And I had to remember, God, you promised. And in the midst of the promise, you're asking me to do something difficult. One thing I don't like to do is tell people something and have to come back and tell them, well, what I meant was, because one thing I've really become is a man of integrity. I say what I need to say, and I say it, and I believe it. Those are my values: integrity, humility, and respect. I live on those three principles. And I want to say this: sometimes the enemy may try to cause your character to come into question, but keep walking by